T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's set up this hour because there's a lot to get to. We just spent a lot of time talking about Donald Trump Jr. And I just saw on Colbert, which was on CBS, the late night show there, he had the Morning Joe crew on. Aw, Mika and Joe Scarborough, who has the eraser head haircut. How long has he had that hair sticking straight up? Is that a thing for guys now? Like, what's the latest guy trend? There's nothing better than the buzz cut, really. It's just an easy thing to do. But you don't see it in the news world. In the world of news, they have to have the cone head, right? Where everything's all perfect and it's got to look messy yet sophisticated for some people, and others has to be perfectly manicured. And no, not for Scarborough. He just like basically takes like that Axe. I see the commercials for like the Axe hair gel where they shove it through someone's hair. They're like, oh, look at that. Now the person's completely transformed. Like those teen movies where you take the glasses off the girl and then she's prom queen. And that's what this Axe stuff does for your hair. That's what Scarborough was doing there on CBS. So the city of St. Louis is proposing an extra $400,000 to help with crime prevention and help the crime victims. And it makes me wonder, is throwing more money at it a solution? What do you think? 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Can they use the resources? Absolutely. But are you able to say, okay, we got more money, and then we can play this song?
Problem solved.
The problem is solved. We solved the problem. Problem solved.
I see them. Don't give me that, Mike Anderson. I see them at the end of the vote. I think they're going to vote on it this Friday. They're going to just, someone's going to come out with a guitar and say, guess what? Crime has been solved. The problem is solved. You can tell I have a kid and I watch way too much children programming. I should actually talk about the story, right? So the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office would receive new funding to encourage people to help solve crimes in their neighborhood under a plan from the Board of Aldermen. I'm saying these things, I'm making fun of it, but I think this is going to be effective. But I got to be honest, just having to say, people, here's money. If you squeal on other people or if you report on a crime, we're going to give you that money. Doesn't work in a lot of neighborhoods in St. Louis. And the people that you need to step forward, I don't know if they'll be motivated by that. And again, I don't think you need to be spiking the football here. This is just step one of a long process, which we still are looking for a police chief. What's the long-term plan for St. Louis? I don't know yet. This is more of a short-term plan. Before you can play this song,
problem solved.
I'm not going to play it again. It'll get stuck in your head forever. No, okay, go ahead. Try not to think about this later.
Problem solved.
The problem is solved. We solved the problem.
Problem solved. Stuck in my head over and over again. So I hear that in my mind, and I hear the same songs that the kid watches over and over again, and it's constantly running through my mind. No less than 20 hours a day. I cannot rest. In my dreams, I hear things like that. So the Alderman President Lewis Reed says the package includes money for an outreach program to get more people to testify in court. Here's what I don't know. Are there any statistics? I don't think I've actually seen statistics where people are more inclined to testify in court if there's money involved. Now, I know an organization, Crime Stoppers, is an excellent, wonderful organization because you can call into Crime Stoppers. You can anonymously report something where you know it's not going to come back. You can do it without the fear that someone's going to try to retaliate against you. And then Crime Stoppers will use that as a piece of the puzzle to help solve a crime or stop something terrible from happening. I love organizations like Crime Stoppers because they're nationwide. You have them in each city. You have them here in St. Louis. You can call Crime Stoppers or you can go online and report things. And the nice thing about them is I've seen where police or investigators, they try to push Crime Stoppers to give their source, and they never will. Never will. You can't break the integrity of that anonymous tip because if you do, people will stop doing it. You don't want people to stop doing it. I think that is very effective, the anonymous side of it. Having people come out public for money, like your bounty hunter, your dog the bounty hunter, having that, I don't know if that works either. Because in a city like St. Louis, where people are scared, what's going to happen if they say something on trial? And we know what happens here in St. Louis. We see so much crime, targeted crime. We see people shooting at each other in cars targeting each other. We see people walking up to someone at the park targeting people and shooting them in the head. We see kids getting hurt because they are just innocent bystanders or close to in proximity of someone that's being targeted. It's terrible. So there's a lot of fear that goes on. And it takes a very brave person to do that in public, even with money on. So I don't know if that's, statistically speaking, if that works in other cities. But what else the money is being spent for, I think, is very important. I'll keep reading the story, which you can find at KMOX.com. We know right now part of our issue is getting to the bottom of some of the open murders within the city of St. Louis, and that the community is not coming forward, Reed says. An almost $400,000 boost in annual funding would also pay for a diversion program to move first-time nonviolent offenders into social programs instead of prisons. This is important, too. You have people like Reverend Larry Rice, who's helping homeless people, and you help them become less reliant on drugs. You help them have a change of heart. You try to keep them off the streets. You try to do all of these different things, and the city fights things like that, which drives me crazy. But at the same time, they're willing to spend all this money for diversion programs when there's people that are willing to do it with their own money. Again, my criticism shouldn't be met with me against this. I think I'm 100% for this $400,000 in extra that'll go to help prevent crimes. I just want to make sure it's being spent efficiently. That's going to be a big part of it, because that's a lot of money to be throwing at places that you could use it better somewhere else. But having met Lewis Reed, I can tell you that the impression I get from him, and I only met him once, the impression I get from him is one that he's not one to mess around. He's not one to do things he doesn't think is effective. So I will give him that endorsement. Here's another quote from him. We know it's important to have a diverse program in place to get them focused on more positive activities. Good. When you have nonviolent offenders, right? This is me speaking. When you have nonviolent offenders and you want to find ways to keep them out of prison, you have people that absolutely shouldn't be on the street. And I know yesterday Governor Greitens was in town and he said, we're going to try to clean those people up. We have state police and other people, and they're looking for help from the FBI with the drugs. Those are the type of people that you don't give second chances to, right? We're not talking about low-level drugs. We're talking about people that are doing these things, these drug trades, and involving themselves in violence because of it. Those are the type of people you say, you know what, we're going to give them a pass. We're talking about nonviolent offenders into social programs that could change them. You know, if you get caught with some weed or something stupid like that, yeah, you made a mistake. But then again, you're not going to be clumped into the same group of people that are going out dealing drugs in schools or with a loaded gun with the intention to go shoot someone. He also says, we know it's important to have a diversion program. The bill is expected to gain final passage on Friday. I'm glad that they're doing this. But again, they're doing this without a vision of a police chief. Once they get someone in there with a vision and they say, this is how we're going to turn things around, maybe that money, is it premature that they're spending this? How do you feel about it? Do you feel 400 grand's enough? Do you feel it's too little? Do you feel like this is going to make a difference? Do you feel like this is going to make the city safer, the things they're proposing right now? 314-436-7900, 800-925. 1120 is the number. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Broadcasting from the KMOX Golden Oak Lending Studios. Golden Oak Lending, with fixed rates now in the twos. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Lucky for us, this money will be spent and all the problems will be solved.
Problem solved.
The problem is solved.
We solved the problem, problem solved.
It's Peg Plus Cat, by the way. It's on PBS. So I want to bring up a kid in Akron that had some issues with their neighbor. Are we really neighborly people today? It seems like, I forgot what comedian it was. I once heard a comedian bring this up, and it's so true. He said, back when I was growing up, when someone would knock on the door or ring that doorbell, it was like the greatest thing ever. We would all come running up. Who's here? Who's here? Your parents would say, I'll put on a pot of coffee. Come on in. Please come on in. We'll have some fun. We'll talk. We'll chat. We'll converse. It was just wonderful when someone came to the door. Then the internet came and no one cared about each other because they could be whatever they wanted online and they can talk to whoever they wanted in personal communication without the door. Now someone rings your doorbell. What do? You make sure the blinds are drawn closed and you crawl. You're like army crawling. I forgot what comedian brought that up, but man, is that true. Man, is that so true. It's a different story today. I don't answer the door when someone, like if I don't have someone planning to come over, I don't answer the door. Why would I? I'm not here to talk to you about your solicitation. I'll look out the door. There's times where kids, you know, have a accidental ball knocked over the fence that you have to go grab. That's fine. I get that. If I peek out the door, though, and it looks like someone's there to try to sell me something or try to solicit something, no thanks. No thanks. You can leave a note. That'll be directly thrown in my trash can. It's different now when you want to try to build a community and you want to get to know your neighbors. If a neighbor comes to your door, you answer it, all right? I'm not talking about neighbors. I'm talking about strangers coming to your door. If you have a good communication with your neighbors, it's a really worthwhile thing. It's one that could feel great. It's one that will be something you'll cherish because they'll let you know when something's weird or wrong going on in the community. They'll let you know when so-and-so's in trouble. They'll let you know if, you know, they lose a dog. You know, they'll let you know things. And you want to have that for the sake of security. Hey, did you see so-and-so's house? Someone caught someone trying to break in. It's really scary. Keep an eye out. Oh, yeah. Wow. Thanks for telling me. Those are great conversations. So when this kid in Akron, 10-year-old, did something nice to his neighbor, his elderly neighbor. I shouldn't say elderly. Never mind. Not elderly. The guy's old, but not like, So the 10-year-old from Akron was stunned when he tried to do something nice and found out that his reward was a letter from the police.
Grass, a front lawn. You're looking at the reason for this. An official letter from the Summit County Prosecutor's Office telling 10-year-old Zachary Wilson to have no contact with his neighbor.
What? A letter from the police to say have no contact with your neighbor? Where do I get one of those? So if I wanted to avoid my neighbor at all costs, can I just talk to the police and say, hey, can you send them a letter to never talk to me again? What an awesome thing that would be. Like, there's someone you don't like. Hey, police, send this guy a letter to let him know I never want to talk to him ever again. I don't think it works like that. But what could have ever have caused a man to say to his 10-year-old neighbor in Akron to never speak to me again?
All over a 10-year-old mowing a lawn.
Yeah, all over a 10-year-old mowing the lawn.
Charles Wilson told me his son meant well.
He mowed ours, and then he decided to go over and mow part of theirs. Our son does have ADHD. He's on medication, but he is a Cub Scout, and he likes to do things for people.
He says,
how nice is that? I mean, as a guy, I don't want someone mowing my lawn. I get that. Like, I don't want some kids going out there and then just having them assume I'm going to pay them for something I was going to do. Like, you ever see or been to a major area where you, like, stop at a red light, someone comes on and tries to wash your windows? Nope, I'm not paying you because I don't want you washing your my windows with your dirty newspapers. So, but they try to offer a service up that you didn't ask for and then ask for payment. It wasn't a case with this kid. I think he was just trying to do something nice, a Boy Scout doing something nice to what he thought was the old man next door. Well, apparently this old man wanted nothing to do with it. Wouldn't it have been just easier for him to go back next door and talk to the father in this case and say, hey, that's nice you did that, but I'd prefer if you didn't mow my lawn. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I thought he was just being nice. It could have been very easily. But instead, this neighbor thought the best course of action was to call the police. Could you imagine that phone call? Hey, I don't like my neighbor cutting my lawn. Yeah, the police at one point probably said, are you seriously calling me for that? In their mind, if I took that call, first thing I thought was, you're nuts, dude. Can't you just talk to your neighbor? Why can't we just talk to each other anymore? Why can't we do that?
He says the neighbor yelled at his son Zachary and at them, and they thought that was it. Until the letter came in the mail, and he called to verify it was real.
I found out this morning it was sent from the prosecutor's office.
Now, his 10-year-old, afraid to leave the house.
He told my wife and I that he's afraid to come outside now when he's home, because he doesn't know what's going to happen.
I think that's a rational feeling. You may think he's being a little overdramatic, right? Oh, this 10-year-old. But if someone yells at you and you're young and you're 10, especially it's someone of authority, a neighbor, an older neighbor, and they go out and they pump their fist to the sky, and you lousy kids always trying to be nice and mow people's lawns. You know, what a crazy thing, too. It's not like the guy was out there trying to throw toilet paper over the trees, like TP in it, vandalizing. He was out there with a spray can. Shh, you stink. It wasn't like that. It was mowing a lawn. And the video from Channel 5 there in Akron, News 5, showed the neighborhood. It looked like it was, your standard neighborhood. You had the homes, probably, 1,000 square feet homes lined up one after another after another. Nice lawns, detached garages. And it's just probably easy for him to walk it across the driveway and just do the neighbors while they're at it. I got to imagine it can't take a kid more than 30 minutes to do a front lawn there, right? If you were doing two of them. Probably an easy thing, and he thought he would be nice. And he thought he'd be rewarded. He probably thought he would get a pat on the back and the neighbor would come over and say, well done, son, well done. But man, did that backfire. It's 2017. It's the time where instead of welcoming our neighbors in, we want to hide and we don't want to converse with them.
The neighbor who filed the complaint didn't answer the door.
Oh, big surprise. Oh, you're going to hide now instead of start yelling. Big surprise you hid behind the door.
According to the letter, he referred to his cut grass as, quote, disorderly damaging.
Ah, disorderly damaging. You damaged my grass by mowing it. this poor kid.
It's grown back now, but Wilson told me not everything else will repair itself.
Oh, how poetic. This reporter writing down, trying to create an haiku from this all. If only the damage between the neighbors would grow back like the grass. She's going to sit down and they're going to have people in a circle talk about their favorite poem after this.
Even with time.
We're hoping to get a fence put up as soon as possible to keep away from the neighbors totally, so we don't have to have anything like this happen again, because it's been a nightmare.
Yeah, that's the real world solution. Never talk to the neighbor ever again. If this was Disney, I've seen enough Disney movies to know there's always that one angry, grumpy person. But you win them over with love and kindness. Ain't nobody got time for love and kindness anymore. We're going to win them over with a fence. And if I was in Akron, I would call over to this guy and I'd say, hey, I'll come over. I got the post hole digger. I'll bring it over. How hard's your lawn? Is it easy to get into the dirt? Yeah? Okay. I'll help. Let's get over and we'll put that fence up this weekend.
Now, according to the prosecutor's office, no charges were filed against 10-year-old Zachary. But according to that letter, they could be if this neighbor files another complaint.
So that's News 5 in Akron. Do you think that 10-year-old feels like a gangster? He goes into school now and he's like, hey, I saw your dad on the news. You're gangster, man. Police are after you. Whoop, whoop. Probably not. Yeah, man. I got a bad rap, and he's at Boy Scouts. He's got his little pocket knife, and he's shaving a stick. Yeah, man, I'm making this into a knife just in case I got to go to prison. I got to have my shiv. This kid at a Boy Scout, he's around the fire with the other Boy Scouts. They're telling their stories. Like, yeah, I helped so-and-so cross the street. Oh, that's really great. I made blankets for the local animals at the shelter. Oh, that's great. What did you do? Almost went to jail for mowing an old man's lawn. You know, this kid's an instant hero and a villain, and real, real disappointing that a neighbor would act that way. All right, so how stupid are we becoming as a society? A cop is facing disciplinary action for misgendering someone, and you're even wondering how that's possible. Misgendering someone. And who are the best tippers? You may be surprised. It's not Tipper Gore. Well, that probably doesn't surprise you. We're going to get to that and so much more on the show. If you want to sound off on anything, or maybe there's something on your mind you want to get off, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Overnight America is its own beautiful thing. It's late night all across America. We reach 44 states. You could be listening from anywhere online, too, at KMOX.com. And what I want to make sure you know is that this community of overnight people, you listening right now, don't ever feel ashamed if you want to call in and talk about something. That's what the overnight's for. Feel free to do that on KMOX.
Here's the dictionary definition of bombastic.
Rush Limbaugh.
Drive-by media is going to be devoted to getting Trump out of office. They're going to do everything they can to destroy his presidency. And if they can't force him out of office, the next thing they're going to do is make sure that he fails at everything he wants to do.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays at 11 a.m. on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Stadium for Cardinal games this season. And year after year, families and groups of Cardinal fans ride the Redbird Express from St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to and from games, and so can you. Redbird Express services are affordable, convenient, safe, and provided by the St. Clair County Transit District, proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals. For details on the Redbird Express, go to scctd.org. Scotty here reminding Cardinal fans about the annual St. Clair County Transit District's Day at the Ballpark on Saturday, July 29th, featuring our Cardinals and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ticket packages still remain and include a game ticket, a pregame lunch buffet at the Ballpark Hilton, and transportation to and from the games on the Redbird Express. All for the price of $26 per ticket. Wow, what a wonderful value for family and friends. Get your tickets while they last. Call 618-628-8090 or go to sccTD.org.
Making America great since 1925. KMOX.
This is Overnight America. Making overnights great. Yeah, that fits. So it's 11:34 through your overnight hours. And the phone lines, if there's anything you wanted to talk about, we'll be here. But I want to get to this story that I saw on the Blaze earlier today. And it was by Trey Goins Phillips, who posted it. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Officer James Britton now facing disciplinary action for misgendering. And they put that into quotes because I don't know if I've heard that term misgendering before. From a person by the name of Shelby Kendall, a transgender female on a reckless driving ticket in January. I'm looking at what I think. Is this who Shelby Kendall is? That's not the police officer. That can't be Shelby. All right. So what I'm looking at is a picture of a guy, and that is Shelby. Whoa. So I'm looking at a picture of a person that obviously looks like a male to me. I mean, 100% looks like born a male, is a male. Mike Anderson's from the producer booth. You're pretty far away. So you're like, I don't know, 10 feet away. Is there any way this person would look like a female from there? Do you see? Can you see it from there?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't know. I could see it going either way.
Really? From back there?
Sure.
Okay, so that's pretty far away. Now, the person, Shelby Kendall, pulled over for drag racing. I don't know if Shelby was driving the Ford Mustang or the Chevy Camaro, but either way, drag racing on a public road, pulled over into a Fort Lauderdale grocery store, and then was ticketed for reckless driving. Kendall said, I wasn't really contesting why I was pulled over. I was more contesting how I was treated. And when you think of police encounters with civilians that feel like drag racing's appropriate, and they pull up and they catch the person or whatever, and you obviously think the worst happened when someone says a police counter went my way. There was even that story here in Missouri last week where a reporter... Not a reporter, an op-ed contributor to a newspaper wrote about how he was so poorly treated by police. What city was that in? I can't remember right now, but it was here in Missouri. Now, the police in that city said, we have dash cams. We'll just release the video, completely shame this guy because he completely lied about how the police treated him. It was 100% lie and fabrication, but still he used his influence with this newspaper, someone who's been working for him a long time, to try to put this false narrative out and play into it. It was very disappointing and sad. And now we see this in Fort Lauderdale creeping in. The person is saying, I didn't like how I was treated, as if the police did something. Oh, boy, they dragged this person out of a car and they clubbed him. And then after that, they put the canine unit on him. And then after that, they maced him. And then after that, they shoved their face into the side of the car right before they put it in the back of the squad car. This is what the public wants you to believe the police act. All right. That's not how it works, especially in this instance. So Brighton went back between and apparently called for a citizens police review, and they put it up in front of a board and said the police officer, during the process of writing a ticket to this person, despite the fact that the real estate agent's driver's license features female pronouns on the ticket, the police officer put was a male. That was the terrible, vile mistreatment from police. The person did not recognize, the police officer did not recognize the person that was sitting behind the wheel and saw visually a male sex, but instead did not write down on the ticket the word female because he probably didn't know. And as the story goes on, apparently the police officer thought it might have been a misprint. Because looking at the person, it's obvious that the person was born as a sex of a male, and that's what they put in. But the person felt like, the person behind the wheel that was drag racing, felt like they were so abused and mistreated because they used the wrong pronoun. This has got to stop. We have to identify everything as the sex of the person. We can't get into this game where there's 80 different genders we have to learn, and we have to identify people based on how they feel when it comes to a legal sense. We need to, at this point, identify people based on their sex, and it would solve all of these issues. Where people like the person that was pulled over for drag racing, who's Shelby Kendall, so they can't come back and try to get people fired for mistakes like this, right? Because they feel like it was a mistake that they wrote the wrong pronoun down. And then you're going to get people trying to get them fired. And I'm sure you're going to find people that are going to sue people because they feel offended that the wrong pronoun was used. For purposes of the citation, you're a male, is what the officer said. Police investigators have suggested Britton received a written reprimand, but is up by the city manager to make a final decision how the officer will be disciplined. How about the police office come out and say, this person will not be disciplined? Why don't you make that stance right now? And I feel that it would be so much easier if all we did was just change. So when we try to write down on a legal form, we just forget this whole, I don't care what you're identifying with right now when it comes to the law and what we're gonna write down on this form, we're just going to go to sex and whatever you're born with. And that'll clear up everything. It'll clear up everything. If you can change your gender, and what? Who's to say if you can't change it after something's been written down, you're offended because it was logged a certain way in the past because you feel a certain way then? We just got to put a baseline together, and the baseline exists. It's what's in your DNA, and that's what we should be going by. Here's another quote here. LGBT activist Michael Reisner believes law enforcement officers should have to undergo more training on transgender issues as a result of this incident. I don't see it being a problem. Now that it's 2017, that police officers have to learn different ways to deal with different people. That's not a problem to me. I feel like they got to find ways to be more sensitive. That's just the world we live in today. And it's just the shame that these officers got to sit down, use their resources and spend their money as opposed to learning things that could actually help people and find ways to make public safety a higher priority. We're worrying about stuff like this. So yeah, you're going to waste time, but it's necessary in today's society. It's a crazy world we live in. It's the reason why Donald Trump was elected office, by the way. Here's another quote. What concerns me is that the officer felt it was not necessary for him to correct the citation. He robbed that individual of their dignity. If your dignity is completely completely connected with how someone writes your pronoun down on a piece of paper, you're doing it wrong. We had, and this problem is not going to get any better. The Kardashian, what's his face? The Bruce Jenner. And, I can't think of Caitlyn Jenner, excuse me. So Caitlyn Jenner is even came out on Fox News when Caitlyn was doing the big book tour and hitting up all the television stations and the Today shows and all of them. Even Caitlyn said, someone that's probably the poster child for this fight for the transgender community, even Caitlyn Jenner goes out there and says, hey, we don't have the answers. We're trying to figure this out. I don't know what the answer is, but we don't know it as a society. All right. If you want to call in on this, you can. But mostly, I'm just curious, is the cop really that insensitive? I mean, do you listen to that and say, that cop should be fired? Are you going to take that hard stance? Are you really that upset about it? 314-436-7900. Okay. I also want to talk about tipping. I'm not a great tipper, but I was in good company when I read this story about tipping. So I feel like that's going to be at least another positive thing for me. All right. That's coming up, too. It's Overnight America on KMOX.
Next, Charlie Brennan Show. Big announcement about a KMOX event taking place at the Sheldon and Mike Shannon just a couple of days before his birthday, plus composer Jimmy Webb. Starts at 9 tomorrow, KMOX.
It's All-Star Game Break Week, and the Cards are off until Friday when they take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're your home for the best Cardinals coverage. KMOX.
Hey, welcome back to Overnight America. Dun, 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 dun. I love the music in the overnight, too. These are some really great songs. Let's go to Jerome, who's calling in from Illinois. Hey, Jerome, what's up?
I was humming along with you.
Yeah. So you want to call in on the cop issue down in Fort Lauderdale. So what's your take on it?
Well, my take is pretty much what you said. It's, I understand, you know, we should treat everybody right. This is America. We're based on freedom of religion and so on and so forth. I get that. I totally agree with it. You know, otherwise we would be a country I wouldn't want to live in, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the big but, much like my own, comes in. The thing is that there's too many people make up too many new rules too fast. And, yes, boys are boys and girls are girls. If you want to live as a man or a woman, and we're the opposite, that's fine. But don't, basically, it's like you say, it's kind of like a social security number. You can't go around changing that, and it's for ID purposes. So if a male...
Well, you can't change your DNA is the idea here. So you can't change what's in the genes. Now, you can change your outward appearance, and then you can decide the way you feel and identify with it, which, you know what... whatever, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to keep me up at night or bother me at all. But what does bother me a little bit is the idea that I have to accept and I have to try to, I'm trying to think of the right words to say this sensitively, but I have to adopt your way of thinking in order for you to be justified. And that's not how it should go.
Yeah, they basically want you to conform to whatever their feelings are that week. So many people do nowadays. But I just think if you treat everybody right, the police officer, I'm sure, wasn't trying to hurt anyone's feelings. And if they're going around dressed in a certain fashion, it's their failing that the officer wasn't able to identify them correctly. You can't get mad at someone for saying, oh, you have red hair when you dye your hair red all the time. And the officer has no idea that you actually have blonde or black hair or whatever. How would the officer know that if you're misleading people? Now, I don't want to say misleading because I don't want people getting mad at me. Not that it'd be the first time.
Well, that's the problem is that at some point we're going to have these conversations, but they get shut down so quick and dismissed so quickly because it's like we're not allowed to talk about it if we dissent from feelings. But, you know, the problem is when it comes to facts and it comes to DNA, feelings don't, they shouldn't apply, right?
No, yeah. Right. I don't want to get off track too much. Have you ever seen the episode of South Park where one kid's dad tries to be a dolphin?
No. No, I haven't. Is this like a recent South Park or one that was from a few seasons ago?
It's from several years ago. It's a good one because Mr. Garrison tries to be, he actually has one of those kind of operations.
A dolphin, and, did you say?
Yeah, South Park.
Like an animal dolphin.
Yeah, he tries to become a dolphin.
Okay.
And one of the other kids, he tries to be like a 6-foot-tall basketball player, but she's only in like, fourth grade at this point. So that, and then basically the whole thing is, you are what you are.
Well, yeah, this is it. The best way I've heard this is the question, and let me ask you this, Jerome. How old are you?
I'm 36, so this is all weird to me, too.
You said 36. Okay, how come you're not 55? It's hard to answer that question, isn't it? I mean, that's basically the best way I've been able to find this. Now, you can identify as 55, but it doesn't make you 55. So I feel like if we just stick to what's in the genes, what's into the DNA, we go by sex as opposed to gender, life's going to be easier for the entire society. And then people can do whatever they want.
I feel like we're all on a park bench, and then everybody's saying, hey, you need to move over. You need to move over. And then 5 or 6 move overs, I'm sitting on my tuchus on the ground wondering, how did I get there?
A lot of people wonder the same thing. And every time I wake up in the morning, I wonder, how did I get here? I'm confused. It's like I'm disoriented. And then it finally hits me. Hey, Jerome, thank you for calling in.
Oh, no problem.
Yep. All right. I got that's a pretty good issue. And this isn't one that we're going to find an answer to. It's not like my conversation with Jerome's going to fix anything. It's not like anyone calling in or anyone has the answer right now, because there is no answer to this right now. The only answer should be, at this point, you shouldn't be able to try to force me to adopt your way of living if I see a different point of view. So if the idea is the only way you can win an argument or the only way you can validate yourself is to force other people to give in to what you believe, then that's also not good for the discussion or really anyone. I saw another story out. I'm not someone that's a great tipper. If you ever go to a restaurant, I always tip. But I was curious, who are the best tippers? So apparently there was a study that came out from creditcards.com. They looked at it. And the big spenders, when it comes to gratuity, when the wait staff at the end of the night, these are the ones they always fight over. Let me ask you this. Who do you think are the best tippers? I'm going to put this into two pools. Let me bring in Mike Anderson real quick, because you work in the service industry. You are someone that, when you're not working here at KMOX, you're out there, you bartend, right? You know a thing or two about tips coming in, because you get tips as a bartender, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to put two different pools here. I'm going to read you. Okay, here's one. Pool A, men, Northeasterners, Republicans, credit card and debit users. That's pool A. Pool B, women, Southeasterners, Democrats, and cash users. Okay, who do you think is the bigger tipper, pool A or pool B? It's a hard one, isn't it? You're profiling people right now. You're thinking,
I don't know. Those are just weird classifications of groups. That's not
isn't
what I was
it,
expecting
though?
At all.
Yeah, so one group are the highest tippers and one group are the lowest tippers.
Yeah, and repeat who's in each group again.
Okay, so group A, men, Republicans, credit card and debit users, and people from the Northeast of America.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be the higher of the two.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, and the other group was women, Southeasterners, Democrats, and cash users. That's the low end. You're right.
Yeah.
Men and Republicans, the best tippers in restaurants. Women and Democrats, the worst. I'm not using that as a way to rub in, but this is what it shows. People say when you're using a credit card or a debit card, you tend to leave a higher tip because, you're not physically putting cash out there. And people also find that these groups leave a medium, the Republicans and the men and stuff, 20% of their total bill when they dine out. Now, the other group, women and Democrats, tip a median of 16% or 15% somewhere in there. So about 5% less than the other grouping. Do you profile people when it comes to tips? Like, you see servers say, oh, I'll get them. They look like they'll tip better.
Yeah, totally.
Really? That happens?
Oh, yeah.
All the time? Is it like a competitive deal? Like you're?
Well, no, because we all have our own sections, right? But
yeah. But
when you see the host taking a certain group, you know whether to hope that she leads them to your section or not a lot of times.
So the person that's leading into sections, is there like a little bit of politicking going on there? Like,
there
hey,
can be sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you're getting friendly, like, hey, when that group of Republicans or the group of guys come in, just would you make sure they sit over in my section?
You know who the best tippers and people to wait on are, though, right?
No, who?
Anyone that's worked in a restaurant before.
Oh, really?
Everyone should have to spend a month of their life working in a restaurant.
No, it's not like they're joining the Peace Corps by working a restaurant. You know, anytime you sit down, doesn't that get annoying? You know someone that's worked in a restaurant. Are you one of those people that when you go eat somewhere else, you say, oh, I know, I used to be a server, so I know. And then you have to give out, you feel like you're obligated to give a higher tip?
No, I mean, no obligation, but it's nicer to and stack my plates up for them at the end of the meal when they come to bus them.
Yeah, I feel like anyone that's worked at a restaurant, when they sit down, they have to disclose they've worked at a restaurant so they know what it's like to work for tips.
No, definitely don't do that.
Mike Anderson, you did well, okay? And now I know.
One for one.
One for one! Got some other things we need to get through here in Overnight America, but we'll keep the phone lines open the next hour, too. What's the general rule of thumb when it comes to having a pet? What about locked in a car? Big story out by the zoo. We'll talk about that later. KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.